You know, all the readings today are connected together, and they affect each and every one of our lives, but do we really make the connection, and do we really see how they touch our lives, each and every one of us, and what we can do, and how God is calling us to a change in our own lives, and calling us not only a change in our own lives, but to affect a change in our community, in our world today. You know, Habakkuk, in the very first reading, the prophet Habakkuk, you know, here he is, he's asking that age-old question to God. And we have to understand the background to Habakkuk, okay, and all the prophets really in general. So you'll probably hear me preaching a lot about the Old Testament, just loads, because in order to when we understand the Old Testament, we really get insight into our Lord Jesus' words and what's transpiring. And so as we take a look at the prophets, what was the main prophet? What were the prophets' job? The prophet's job was to warn the people, to be that witness, to be that man on the watchtower that warned the people of impending danger or of the approaching enemy. And so that was their job, to do that. And see, they always grieved. They were very deeply grieved to their heart because they were constantly fighting the Israelites. Now, as we know, you know, we're no different than the Israelites. You know, the Catholic Church is the fullness of Judaism. It's the completeness, actually. Okay, it's the completeness. We Gentiles were grafted onto that. Okay, and it was made perfect, okay, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Judaism was. And so we're no different than the Jews. They're our roots, okay? And so when we complain, when we look at the Jews and we say, well, why in the world did they do that? I'd never do that. Well, we do it. We're no different. But we can make a change. We can make a change. See, Habakkuk was asking our Lord God, one of the struggles that Habakkuk had was he's asking our Lord God, why are you punishing us with our enemy? Why are you punishing us with our enemy? And our enemy's more sinful than we are, and you're punishing us with a more sinful nation, by a more sinful nation. Why are you doing that? He wanted to know. Well, you know, I think we ask all that. Why do we suffer? Why are we suffering? Why are we struggling? You know, why are we seeing all the struggles that we see in the church today? Why are we struggling? Why are we seeing all the difficulties in the world today as we see? You know, it just seems like, dang, it's getting worse. Well, you know, we suffer the consequences of our sins. We suffer the consequences. And see, like I said, we're always like the Israelites, okay? We're like the Israelites. And so we end up suffering deeply because we don't embrace, we pursue other gods, we pursue other things. And so God says to us, okay, you want that? I'm going to give it to you and show you how much worse off you will be. How much worse off you will be. But see, we are called to fight that today because, see, we are called to stand against that today. We are called to warn people just like the prophets were, because none of us, unlike the old-time prophets, you know, God appointed prophets, but he also, in today's society, when our Lord Jesus Christ founded the church, he appointed all of us prophets through our baptism. So we're each priest, prophet, and king. All right? Not ministerial priesthood, baptismal priesthood. I'm ministerial, and I'm both baptismal. But we are all prophets, and prophets are called to give that warning to others, to call others to holiness, to warn them, and to fight for the truth. But see, the problem with many of us is that we say to ourselves, I am too young, I'm not capable. When I say too young, I mean I don't understand the faith that well. And you know, when St. Paul was writing Timothy, you know, we don't hear that today, but St. Paul would warn Timothy, don't worry about what the people are thinking. Don't worry because they think that you're young. You're not too young. You know, preach the word of God in and out of season. And preach it boldly. Preach it boldly. And so we have to take a look at our own lives and we have to ask ourselves, how do we find ourselves at time when we're faced with those challenges in life, when we're faced with the difficulties? You know, with warning people, with calling people to holiness, with speaking the truth to others. Each one of us can gauge our life. Think about it at work. How are you at work when challenged? How are you with your friends when challenged? How are we when we are just challenged in general? To speak the truth, to uphold the truth, especially when it goes against a group. When we're going against a group. You know, it's not easy for any of us. And yet, St. Paul says to Timothy, he says, have courage through the imposition of my hands. Remember at confirmation, the bishop placed his hands, or he extended his hands outward towards us. And he was praying for us at confirmation. He was praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit upon us to strengthen us. And so, see, that's what we need to begin to think about. We need to begin to think about those graces and gifts that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. And we need to begin to act upon those graces. We need to find the courage to stand up for the truth. Because, see, as I've said this a few times in the past homilies, that daily homilies, and even at a funeral homily, I said, you know, if we want to understand ourselves a little bit better, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. And we need to ask ourselves, where was Adam when Eve was being tempted? You know, where was Adam when Eve was being tempted? Why didn't Adam stand in the breach? Why didn't Adam do what he was supposed to do and keep Eve from falling? See, Adam knew if he would go after the evil one, guess what would happen? He knew that he would lose his life. He knew that. He knew that he would lose his life. So Adam was afraid to lose his own life. He was afraid. He wanted to preserve his life. And you know, what Adam was probably thinking, just like what we think at times, is, it's not going to touch me. Adam's thinking of Eve. Her sin's not going to touch me. It's not going to affect me. But it did, because he failed to stand in the breach. To have the courage to stand up and call Eve out on what she was doing, not to listen to the evil one. Because he failed that, Eve invited him into her sin, and he was too weak to battle against it. In other words, the story goes that what we learn from that is that we learn that even though we think that we can avoid the consequences of the other person's sin, it's still going to affect us, like today's society. If we don't stand against the moral sins of today, they're going to get us anyways. They're going to get us. If we think we can avoid them and hide in our house and do our own thing, it's not going to touch my family, the sins. Ha, that's a lie. Look at how all the immoral sins, sexual, whatever they are, have crept already into our school system, into our society. It touches our lives. And then we have to deal with the consequences with our kids. We can't avoid it. We have to face it, even if it means losing our life. And what do I mean by losing our life? I mean being ridiculed. I doubt that we're going to become a red martyr. That'd be a blessing if it would, because it'd make it easy. Okay, one time, good. It's over. But most of us are going to be white martyrs. We're going to suffer for love of Christ. And we need to have the courage to do that. You know, when Christ mentions that mustard seed, it's small, but it's packed with life. That mustard seed, once it's in the soil, and once it's watered, once it's fertilized, it packs life. And it will break open and produce a tree. As Christ said, which would house the birds of the air. But we have to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to work on us and work through us. We have to have that courage. So we need to begin to ask God, where do we get that courage from? And how do we get that courage? I'll tell you right now, the courage comes from being in the presence of God, from being, forming that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless we begin to form that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, unless we fall in love with God, it is going to be difficult for us to give our life for Him. And we fall in love with God by the Holy Mass, by Eucharistic adoration, which is beautiful, by reading sacred scripture, by reading the catechism, by reading saints about saints' lives, because I'll tell you right now, the lives of the saints encourage us to be strong and devout. We have that formed.org, you know, formed. We can go and watch great movies about the saints on that. We can listen to great talks, CDs out there. But that is how we begin to fortify ourselves. We begin to strengthen ourselves. We begin to learn to use the weapons that our Lord God has bestowed upon us through confirmation and baptism. We learn how to use them. Are we going to lose the battles? Yes, we're going to lose battles. But the war is God's. You know, when David encountered Goliath, what did David say to Goliath? David said to Goliath, when Goliath was ridiculing the Israelites and their Lord God, he said to Goliath, the war is God's, the battle is God's. The battle is God's. So David went in with faith. He went in with faith. And even though we might appear to lose, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about stemming the tide, doing what God has asked us to do, to stand in the breach as His prophets.